OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.
Hey, Kieran Donaghy, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. Are you a bit, we were all a bit exhausted after the weekend, to be honest. There was just, dare I say it, too much on to take in.
Yeah, there was a lot on. There was a lot on trying to manage, trying to get the kids a bit of exercise and make sure you're back for half one for the sporting day, and takes a bit of doing, trying to get the shopping done and stuff. So there's, yeah, a lot going on. But are you okay after Kildare's meltdown?
Well, look, I don't even know if we've got time to get to that.
Okay. Yeah, suits you.
It does. Well, no, I think that there should be a long... like, fundamentally, I think every team needs to have an identity, and you need to be able to look at that team for 5 minutes and go, oh, I know what this team are trying to do. And I didn't get that off Kildare, even when things were going well in the first half, and I certainly didn't get it in the second half. But that's kind of, there's a theme there for a lot of the teams that we're going to look at. Let's hear from Donegal boss Declan Bonner, because here he is chatting to Dahi Boland after their win against Armagh with one of the performances of the weekend. Have a listen.
Listen, you know, you're working, it's not just the backs, it starts higher up the field and putting pressure on up the field, and the lads, as I said, all really, really worked hard, and that, to me, that's the biggest satisfaction for me today, was how the lads went about their business, to be quite honest. And those 15 lads that started and the 5 lads coming off the bench really, really worked hard, and that, to me, that's all you can ask for. And yeah, there's certain qualities there, we know that, but it was a workmanlike performance, and yeah, a very disciplined performance. The squad, to me, is so vital. You know, the lads starting, getting fresh legs in, and you know, not just those 20 players, we had 26 togged out today. There's another 6 that didn't make that 26 that'll be chomping at the bit once we go back in tomorrow. And as I say, that's what it's about. To me, it's always about the squad, it's not about any individual, and the lads know that. And as I say, to continue to work hard and look for that improvement, and that's all you can ask for. I mean, that was our goal at the start, was to get to the final again, but we knew it was always going to be difficult. When you look at Tyrone the first game, and you look at Armagh today, and you know, we know it's not going to be easy. The final, Cavan overcame one of the fancy teams in Monaghan at Down, were very impressive against Fermanagh last day out, so that's going to be a cracking game tomorrow, and looking forward to that. And as I say, we have 7 days now to prepare for an Ulster final, and you know, that preparation starts immediately. There's no time really to dwell on that performance. We look at it, we'll analyse it, we'll pick what we can out of it, and we'll see where we can get improvement.
It'd be easy, Kieran, it'd be easy for us to get caught up in what happened yesterday, but actually Donegal's performance was the performance of the weekend, and one of the best performances that we've seen since football restarted. They're the real deal.
Yeah, Jared, they've got everything you want in the locker. I think that man that just spoke, you know, deserves a lot of credit. A very brave move bringing in Rochford at the start. Shows that he's a very level-headed guy, very humble guy, and just, I suppose, wants the best for Donegal. I think Carroll Lacey is another big find in that management team. So I think their management team is very strong. And look, that's where every successful team starts. I think they've got momentum, Jared. They've come through Ulster, they've come through Tyrone and Armagh, and they're going to have Cavan, who were battle-hardened and who had a massive comeback yesterday and a massive comeback against Monaghan. So Cavan will put it up to Donegal for periods, and we'll still test them. I still fancy Donegal to get through. But that's a nice resume to have coming into an All-Ireland final against, you know, the best team in the land. And, you know, that's just a nice resume. It's a nice confidence builder. They've been tested in the Tyrone game. They didn't get tested yesterday. But they'll be definitely looking forward to that Ulster final, trying to get over that and get a run in for the Dublin game. But yeah, he has to get a huge amount. I think, you know, if they do get through Cavan and they do get a crack at the Dubs, you know, you look at Rochford's background and all the work that he'll have done analysing Dubs with that great Mayo team and how he got them to be so competitive against them. I'm sure Declan Bonner and Carroll Lacey and the lads will be trying to use that if that time comes to try and figure out a way around them. But you know, they've got everything, Jared. They've got the full back line. Steve McManaman is a worry. His hamstring was iced up after the game, so you know, I think with himself, McGee and Owen Vaughan Gallagher, you know, you've got toughness, you've got tightness, and you've got a bit of class. So that's a lovely mixture to have in the full back line. You've got massive legs now with Pater Morgan and Ryan McHugh up both flanks. And you're very big across the middle. And they're getting to keep Murphy inside. Declan Bonner referenced after the game on Sky that, you know, that they've worked a lot on the press and they've worked a lot on their marks. So, you know, they're two big facets of the game. I think their marks, I think they had 4 the last day, 4 points off of it, and they should have had 2 more. Mick Murphy was very unlucky with 2 of them. one bounced out of his hands in the square, could have gone anywhere, and the other one he should have caught over in the left wing. And then you have the one for the goal where they hit him as well, and he kind of panned it down to Pattern Morgan, and Pattern Morgan went in and got the goal. So they're able to keep him in because they have the likes of Langan, Thompson, and that size outside there with McGonagall and Hugh McFadden and Jason McGee. So they've got, you know, they've got a nice setup. They're defensively very strong. I'm sure Carol Lacey's doing a lot of work on them with that. But yeah, they're. You know, they still have to prove, and they still need everything to go absolutely brilliantly to compete with this Dublin side. Let's not be silly about it, but they certainly are a crowd that are coming and coming with a good idea of themselves as a team after 2 years with the lads, and they look a good bit further down the road than they were last year.
Kieran, it's a rare thing that Donegal would win back-to-back championship games and Michael Murphy wouldn't be man of the match in one of them, and it's been seen as a positive that others are now stepping up. But how is his form? How has he been over these couple of games? Because you feel if they're to beat Dublin, Michael Murphy probably needs to be man of the match in that one.
I think he's been very good, Nate, and I think he's playing a bit of both. He's playing, obviously, as I said, he's playing, trying to play a bit deeper inside. And they looked at the matchup that Armagh had on him yesterday, and they realised that, yeah, we can get a bit of joy off of Michael playing with the wind in the first half. So they're very fluid in what they do. You saw them against Tyrone. They were able to bring Murphy out the field. And they need him out the field in that type of a game to get on ball. He can do everything. He's the ultimate workhorse. There's no job too small for him. You know, he gets into games by any means necessary. He'll get in by a tackle, by winning dirty ball. He'll get in by kicking frees, by kicking scores. But he is their linchpin. And if they can keep him inside alongside Jamie Brennan, they look to have a very good understanding built up. And to be honest with you, with Paddy McBrearty back is a huge plus for them. He's a guy that just can win you any game. I think he's 27. He's got maybe 6 Ulster championships already. You know, he's a phenomenal player, lovely left leg. And if they wanted to go with McBrearty and Brennan inside, they can, and then pull Murphy out at times. But that's a formidable full forward line when you look at the likes of Oisin Gallen to come on and impact it. They're very sure of themselves, their style. They're good on their own kickouts. They're good on the opposition kickouts. They're playing a nice counter-attacking brand. They're solid defensively. I think 111 against Tyrone, 13 points against Armagh. You'll be happy with those 2 days' work, but they're putting up big scores. And you know, they're getting a bit of confidence now, and Gallen is a real shining light, and he could be a juggernaut for them off the bench. So yeah, look, he is crucial to everything they do, but don't worry about Michael Murphy. Whatever game it comes and whatever the big game comes, he's always to the fore in the real big games. And are these really big games? The Tyrone one was. He was formidable around the place. But I think once you get in, if he gets into Croke Park, you know, that's where you're going to see the best out of that man. He's never let Donegal down, and I don't see him starting anytime soon.
Can I just ask a quick question on the pitches? Like, is Croker so much further a fast pitch and a better pitch than all the pitches that we're seeing these matches we played on, that actually a hard-running team like Donegal will benefit from that slightly harder pitch where the ball is going to bounce the way it's supposed to? Or is that overstated?
No, it's not overstated. Gerard's a very good point. It is a very fast pitch. Parky Queeve at the Kerry in Cork game was as close as I've seen to it, as in the speed, the way the ball was hitting the ground and skimming off it. So that does help. And you know who it helps more, Gerard, that I haven't talked about yet, is Patton in goals. You know, when you talk about Donegal having a lot of positive factors in their players around the field, this guy is key. It's the most important position in the game today. Stephen Cluxon has made it that. He's made every other keeper up his game. You have to have that every kick in your locker, and Patton can go short, he can be medium, and he's got an absolute boomer if he wants to go long. And we know Donegal like to use them booming kickouts. We saw one of them the last day where it was out, and Langan tapped it down to an on-running McHugh. So look, they have that understanding on that kick out. That's going to be a really useful kick out for them in Croke Park. And you saw the one he set up for Moggins' goal that time against Tyrone. So like he gave it to Moggin, and then Langan got the goal. So like, you know, he will love Croke Park. He will love the space of Croke Park, getting them on the restarts. And he's not just getting them on the restarts, he's getting them on restarts down the pitch. So, you know, that is a factor, and they will like to get into Croke Park. It is a big pitch. It is a quick pitch. When you play a dinky ball into Jamie Brennan or McBrearty, it can bounce 20 yards ahead of them on a wet day, Ger, and still hit them in the chest on one bounce. So, you know, them inside forwards will love them kind of conditions. And Brennan is moving really well, and to see McBrearty on the last day was a huge plus for me looking at Donegal going forward.
Okay, so still the banana skin in the Ulster final to deal with. We'll talk about Cavan's comeback in a couple of minutes now, but I want to move on to Mayo against Galway. Before we get to Mayo, let's hear from Pádraig Joyce speaking here after Galway's narrow Connacht final defeat.
The lack of a game, did that tell the
I'm not going into that because we trained hard here the last 2 weeks or so. Like, look at the mistakes we made there today, they were just unforgivable from our point of view. That, like, Mayo scored 8 points the first half. Like, we made six handling errors here, giving the ball away for six of those eight scores. Like, so look at the lads battled hard, our game plan worked to a tee, but we just didn't execute the clinical edge of the end.
And the fact that the, you know, coming into the game injuries and during the game itself, the injuries, was that
look, you'll always get them in matches, Kevin. That's why you have a panel of 26 players. So look at Johnny Doohan, like, worked really hard again, got an injury from just a bad pass given to him, you know. So, like, we've won ourselves to blame. There's no point us looking for excuses and everything. We take on the chin. Mayo deserve credit. That's their fifth week in a row playing, and they go on to represent Connacht, and they'll do well going forward.
So it's a case then of just taking it on the chin.
Yeah, look, there's nothing we can do. It's not about football. Like, it's, we learn huge lessons from it, and the lads themselves will look at their performances and reevaluate what they're at and what they're at going forward. Because, like, we did, we look at, I'm proud of them, proud to be their manager, as I always say. But some of the mistakes we made there today, like, were just, I don't know where they came from, and I don't know how we just didn't hold possessions a lot of times, you know, and, like, nothing we can say about it.
I've got to say, I think that the whole fact that they didn't have games is one of the reasons why those mistakes happened, Kieran.
It probably is, Ger, but, you know, some of them, no matter what games you've had or didn't have, like, were unexplainable, and I can see Parik's frustration in that, like, you know. I think he got a good battling performance out of his team. I think the two Kelly brothers were outstanding. Paul and Sean from Mike Cullen. I know Paul is an international basketball player, but he was really good yesterday in everything he did. I think Johnny Heaney was very good. Shane Walsh, and, you know, it probably, maybe even Joyce was maybe referencing that, but, like, it, you know, Shane Walsh is frustrating to watch. He's beautiful to watch. He's brilliant to watch. But, geez, he was frustrating in the first half for a fella that's that good. And let's call a spade. He's this good now. He's probably one of the best footballers in Ireland. You can't go out there in the first half and give the ball away six times when you're the captain of the team and you're the best player on the team and you're one of the best players in the country. Is it a lack of focus? Is it a lack of, you know, I don't know what it was. But looking at it yesterday, I just, you know, some of his turnovers, just at this level, you just can't be at that kind of stuff. It's too important. You see how brilliant he is and the brilliance at times. But when you're that brilliant, you have to get that consistency. And I think it's an issue with Shane Walsh. His consistency isn't good enough. He's an absolute baller of the highest order, two-footed, so quick, such an athletic player. You know, can be a real leader, the captain of the team. But the six turnovers he had in the first half were I'd say, Pádraig Joyce is scratching his head. When you look at how good he was at periods of the game. But if you're that good and you have that ability, well, you need to be that kind of good all the time. You mightn't be doing all the soloing, the dummy soloing, and kicking it over with your right and your left from 40 yards all day. But you have to be dynamic. You can't be giving the ball away. You have to mind it. You have to know your role in the team. You're full forward. You're playing into the breeze early in the Connacht final. You're getting on ball and just sloppily kicking it away. And, you know, like, you know, probably that start by him, probably the lack of Comer, if you had Comer going for the last few months going well. So Joyce, even though he'd be very disappointed this morning, I think he'll have looked and he'll have found a few guys, you know, and I think he'll demand more off his better players next year, not to be, you know, making mistakes like that. But, you know, you can sense his frustration in that interview, and I wouldn't blame him at times. Like, yeah, there was the lack of games and all that, but...
OK, well, just on Shane Walsh, how do you fix that?
I think that's up to Shane Walsh to fix, to make sure that his headspace is in, and his decision-making process is in the place where it needs to be at the start of a game where...
But if you were coaching him, right? Because if you were coaching him, you wouldn't tell him he's got to do it himself.
Yeah, no. If I was coaching him, I'd say, listen, Shane, at the start of the game, the ball is everything. At the start of the game, you know, is where I want you to be really solid on the ball and make really good decisions for us up front. Get on the ball. Keep it simple early until you get your footing in the game. It's fine to try hard things, Jaron, when you're after kicking 5 or 6 points. He had 7 points yesterday. He had three unbelievable plays from score. So let's get it right what I'm saying. But that first, that half, that first 30 minutes until he got on his first ball and did something right with the ball was about 31 minutes where he came off the cut, went over and banged it over. Great score into the wind with his left leg. But before that, Ger, he was just getting the ball and giving it away. And, you know, what? If I was telling him at the start of the game is when you need to be really careful with it. Your decisions need to be on point. You need to know what you're doing for your team. You need to know the role you have for your team. You're a huge leader for them. You're the captain for them. If they're looking at the captain giving away the ball like that, like you'd be wondering a small bit. But you know, I'd be trying to get him to kind of just be a bit mindful of what he's doing with the ball early on in the game. Can he be settled a bit more? Can he not give it away? Obviously, can he maybe take guys on and try and draw free, settle the team, settle himself, put it down, bang it over the bar. Okay. But, you know, kicking it away and hand-passing it away and fumbling it at the start of a game is not what you need from your best player and your captain.
I see Nathan getting antsy. Why are we doing all this talk about Galway when it's Mayo or the story?
No, keep going.
They are the
story.
There'll
be enough talk about Mayo now.
No. Look, it's the perfect game and it's the perfect result for Mayo yesterday. Were they flawless? Absolutely not. You know, I think there's loads of stuff to James Horn to work on. 46% in their shooting, 14 from 30 would be... You know, there'll be some of those fellas up in lights at the meeting on Tuesday night, and rightfully so. Some terrible shot selection at times by guys. But it was a war of attrition and was always going to be that yesterday because Joycey had Galway ready to go. Mayo needed to battle, and they did. And, you know, they've unearthed... You know, James Horn has to get huge credit, lads, because if you look back at him last year after that Dublin game, yeah, you'd be saying, look, you know, it's probably the end of the road for a lot of those fellas. Is it the end of the road of this team? He got relegated in the league, but he found championship players... you know, Oisín Mullen, Owen McLaughlin, they're championship ready players, and they're a huge addition and bring huge energy and focus. I think it's allowing the likes of Chris Barrett and Lee Keegan to do a man marking role. When you have Owen McLaughlin and Paddy Durkin bombing forward from the wings, I think Stephen Cohen has been very solid at six. So, you know, you have to like where Mayo are at. The new blood has been massive, as I said, and I think the subs as well. You know, I think he only used four yesterday, and I think Higgins was the only one of the older brigade to get in. So, you know, there's still more of those fellas that can come back and offer something as well. So, look, they'll be very happy. Matty Ruan was an absolute horse around the middle of the field, and he's kind of stepped on a bit and looks real comfortable in his own skin, and he looks ready now to lead that Mayo midfield where he would have always seen maybe an Aidan O'Shea or a Parsons or a Shamey O'Shea as the leaders out there. He's the new leader in the middle of the field, and he's going to be going forward. And Loftus is an able debutant next to him. You know, you may worry about maybe his size against the likes of a Dublin or a Donegal. Could you see him possibly move into the half forward line? Very much so. But he's doing a really good job getting on ball and linking the play for Mayo. So yeah, look, they're in a really good place this morning. That game will bring them on an absolute ton. You get huge momentum coming off a game, off a battle and a game like that. And I think James Horan will, deep down, will be licking his lips with what he saw yesterday at times.
We have a couple of weeks, obviously, to talk about Mayo because they've a week off now as they wait for what happens between Cork and Tip. So we'll come back to them and preview them. I do want to talk a little bit about Cavan and briefly about Meath and maybe about the Dubs if we have time. I want to play you this audio here. It's Cavan star Páraic Faulkner in conversation with Damien Donoghue of the We Are Cavan podcast in the aftermath of an incredible Lazarus-style comeback.
We were so annoyed at ourselves at half-time. We had planned, we had done our preparation knowing that Derry were a running team, they were on a run there in the middle, and we needed to get stops on up high. And for some reason, we went back into old Cavan habits where we dropped off, we let them on run on to us, and we really just said, as players, we're not performing. So we just completely turned it on its heels, and we pushed them up, we pressed them up high, we got dominance on their kickouts in the second half. Garrod was fielding everything around, men in round him. Even if he wasn't, when it was going to ground, they won absolutely everything in the first half. And we just said to ourselves, pull up the socks and just go for it. This could have been our last 35 minutes of football left. So that would have been disheartening to go out like that. So look, it's another week and hopefully another couple of weeks of hope for Cavan fans.
People are talking about the rolling week in, week out. How are you finding it on the body?
Don't mind it. Like, it was as soon as we went out of the championship, I was gunning to get straight back in with Kingscourt. And the Crush Law boys, I'm sure, were the same. Football's what you want to do. What else do you do over COVID? Do you know, you sit at home on your weekends and you do nothing. This is such a treat for us. We're the lucky ones that get to actually get out. And hopefully we're raising the spirits of the people at home that's watching these games of the weekend. I just find it's something to look forward to week in, week out. And the toll is taken on the body. It's not really. When you're getting to Ulster finals, the mental... That mental block goes, and the body just takes a mind of its own then.
Yeah, we're learning a lot, Kieran. We're learning a lot about people wanting to play games instead of training. It makes sense. What a game.
Yeah, what a game. And talking about teams with momentum, you know, Kevin had done a fantastic job to get where they were. They've gone the long route about it. Their win against Monaghan was fantastic. They were 6 down with 9 minutes to go, Ger. They were 10 down, obviously, at halftime yesterday. They got a black card in that first half, and that's a major factor for teams going forward. You know, I think it's a much bigger punishment than it used to be with the bringing a sub on for the other guy. I think this down to 14 men for the 10 minutes now. Down just ran amok yesterday when they got that period of dominance. And, you know, but look, Kevin have huge momentum on their side now. They have key guys in both comebacks. I think Stephen Smith has been very good. I think the likes of Thomas Galligan has been massive. He's come on both days to be a real leader. He's a fella that probably, you know, has to start the Donegal game if they're going to bring it to them. You know, Oisín Kiernan is Oisín Kiernan. He's an absolute colossus. I've watched him live now 3 times in the last year and a half. You know, he's a huge man. He's great movement. He's a bit of a spiritual leader for him. He's got a great left peg. You know, he dominates the airwaves. He could, if they could get away with him at full forward with the mark, he'd be very hard to handle. But I think they need him out the field a bit more. I think Conor Madden, seen him coming back. I know he was injured for the last game, but you know, he kicked an absolute raker from the sideline. He probably the score of the weekend, Ger, and he'll be a huge addition to get him back in. If you look at starting him and Thomas Galligan, you've got lots of options. They've Killian Brady in the back, Kieran Brady in the backs. They've Paddy Faulkner, who was just on, who's a great man marker, a real tight man marker, did a serious job on McManus 2 years ago in the championship. So they'll be very happy where they're at. They're Martin Riley's their spiritual leader, stepped up with a big penalty when the real pressure was on. A nice bit of trash talk with him and the goalkeeper before it, but Riley had the last laugh. He slotted it home. And yeah, look, they're in a good position. They've got a guy, Chris Conway, who's put over huge pressure frees for them in the last 2 games. Above in Clonus against Monaghan, he put over 2 massive ones in the last day, likewise. So, you know, they're in a good place with a nice bit of momentum and a week out from an Ulster final, and they'll be resting up the bodies now, just trying to get an explosion next Sunday and try and go at Donegal and give them a much bigger test than Armagh gave them the last day, because let's face it, Armagh didn't play up to their standards. No. They didn't play to the standards that got them into Division 1 this year. They
very
were, you know, shell-shocked,
yeah, really,
at times.
Because everyone was talking about the wind being an impact, which had no impact in the game because the game was over. Right, we've got a minute left here. So the Leinster final, did Dublin show any weaknesses? And will Meath score 7 goals against them?
No, Meath won't score 7 goals against Dublin anyway. Unless we travel back in time, I'd say. But no, look, Dublin still look devastating, to be honest. 22-point win, rootless. They're in third gear. They look like they have 2 more gears to go into whenever they need to. Fintan is unmarkable, I think, at this moment in time. He's an absolute, like, we know how good he is. It's just ridiculous. Kilkenny is flying. I think Desi Farrell is doing a great job in rotating the forward line, Gerda, on a constant rotation system. That's the biggest... Not difference I can see in them last year, because they've always done a bit of it, but it's very pronounced now, and it's super unsettling for guys that are half backs and they've a pre-notion in their head that they're going to bomb forward all game. The next thing they're in cornerback on a player where they're so uncomfortable inside there. Likewise, cornerbacks who are ready to go for a man marking, they are finding themselves out in the half back line. So they're doing a terrific job, and Desi Farrell has to get credit for that. The new blood in Bugler, Lahiff and McDade have settled in very well. Are there chinks? There isn't. We're nitpicking. 2 small things for me yesterday, Ger. Fenton's drop kick going through on goal was un-Dublin-like to me. I didn't know why he did it. Normally, he just roofs them into the net normally. So the drop kick, and the big one for me was Scully not slipping Conor Callaghan in yesterday, right in front of the goals in the first half. 2 un-Dublin-like things, un-Jim Gavin-like things, I would maybe call them. But again, huge nitpicking there going on. Absolutely flawless performance. Rootless in everything they do. And yeah, they've still guys to come back in. Michael Darragh hasn't seen the pitch yet. He'll bring stuff to them when he comes in. So look, they're in a great position and look like they'll be hard beat again this year.
All right, Kieran, we've got to let you go. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
No hassle. We never got to Tommy's 5 goals, lads. He'll be devastated.
They weren't bad. They should have had 7. Like, they actually, the Kildare goalkeeper was not Kildare's worst performer. He made some good saves. And
yeah, absolutely. No. They were kind of freakish goals. Kildare looked really in control of that game in the first half. But yeah, I don't know. Mad stuff.
We've a long, dark winter ahead of us. Kieran, good stuff. Thanks a million.
All right, lads. I'll talk to you later.
At least we lasted longer than Kerry in the championship.
Hey, hey, done with that thing. Done with that sound.
Isn't that it? Right. Pull his mic.
The greatest freak of all time must still be how Kildare beat Mayo that time in Newbridge.
Yeah, what a missed opportunity that was for you boys.
I know.
What would have happened
we'll
if you won that
get
game?
Over it.
I mean, maybe if you had some
final and heartbreaking defeat.
Maybe if you'd like, you know, managed the situation and said, yeah, we'll give you no problems, we'll play there, instead of like forcing the whole of Kildare to come together. And what a mirage that was in terms of Kildare's togetherness.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, is live from 7:30 every morning. Listen on the OTB Sports app or ask Alexa, Siri or Google to play OTB Sports Radio to start your day with the latest sports news and reaction. Subscribe by searching OTB AM on your podcast app.